Lincoln Live today, thanks to Duct Medic. Improve your air, improve your life, Duct Medic. America's rural transportation system is in need of repairs and modernization to support our economic growth. Nebraska is not among the top 20 states with poor pavement critical conditions in rural areas, nor is Nebraska among the top 20 states for a high fatality rate on rural roads. But Nebraska does have its problems. We are in the top 10 for states with the largest percentage of rural bridges rated as poor or structurally deficient. We get into that today with Rocky Moretti. Rocky is Director of Policy and Research for TRIP, a National Transportation Research Group. He joins me from his office this morning. Thank you, Rocky, so much for taking time to get into this subject.
Thank you, Dale.
What's the percentage of Nebraska's deficient bridges?
9% of the bridges in Nebraska, 9% of the rural bridges in Nebraska are in poor condition, which means that the inspectors who at least every 2 years take a look at the bridges have seen significant deterioration. Those are bridges that immediately need to be improved. And then another 39% were rated in fair condition. Those are bridges where there's deterioration visible on the bridge, and if not addressed at some point soon, will fall into poor condition. And the problem there is the repairs or the replacement costs are significantly higher at that point.
Now, if I read the charts correctly, our 9% here in Nebraska is tied with five other states for the 15th highest percentage of deficient bridges in the country. So we're in company with other states. We're not the only ones out there that have these bridges in poor shape.
The challenge across the country, and it's particularly keen in rural communities, is that these older bridges many times are beyond 50 years old. And in Nebraska, we know that 42% of the state's bridges are more than 50 years old. And those are bridges where the materials and the designs of those older bridges are to a point where oftentimes they need significant repairs or in some case replacement. And if you don't make those repairs, then you either have to restrict the bridge to lighter weight vehicles or you have to close it. And so that means emergency vehicles, it means farm equipment, farm trucks. If they get detoured, obviously with an emergency vehicle, it could be disastrous. But even for day-to-day commerce, there are significant consequences.
Now, I've had this conversation with listeners before on the air, coming from my son who farms in Johnson County. And as he's doing his work, he needs to get to the other side of a creek in order to finish his work in the field. And in order to get to that other side, can't cross it, obviously. He needs to just get back onto the road and circle back onto the field, but he can't because the bridge is out. So he goes 3.5 miles out of his way to get access to the portion of the field that is 30 feet away, that he can see from his tractor, but has to go 3.5 miles out of his way. And as you pointed out, if that's an emergency vehicle needing to put out a fire, that's potentially deadly, or a higher rate of damage in a first responder situation.
And that's why it's absolutely critical that the resources are available to smaller rural communities to access to make these repairs. That means a strong state program, which oftentimes will then have additional funds available for local bridges. And certainly the state of Nebraska several years ago significantly boosted their state transportation program. But we also are seeing now, as the federal program is in its final year before it needs to be reauthorized for several more years, that there's significant discussion of ramping up the rural transportation program, and that would certainly benefit Nebraska.
Well, we should feel pretty good about ourselves, really. Rhode Island's number one with the number of deficient bridges. Almost one of every four bridges in the state of Rhode Island is poor to structurally deficient.
Well, the challenge is you want to see those numbers coming down because, as you pointed out, mentioning your son, each one of those bridges is absolutely vital to that region. And the challenge with so many bridges in poor condition or in fair condition, so they're headed in that direction, is really putting in place a long-term program where you have made sure that you have adequate resources to get those numbers as low as possible. The economy really rides on those bridges, and so do our children and school buses. That all of us are use that transportation system. It's so critical to our personal lives. But it's important, again, that We make sure that they're all open to traffic, that they all can carry the type of vehicles that are appropriate for the size of that bridge.
As of October 14th, the Lancaster County Engineers website showed 20 closed bridges in Lancaster County, and engineers and county commissioners have been scrambling for years to try to stay ahead of this, and it's just been one step forward, two steps back, it seems. How does your organization handle the subject of money? Because it all comes down to money, Rocky.
There are three levels of funding: local government, state, and federal. And what we see as we go across the country talking about bridges is that the local governments, obviously, their resources are somewhat limited. They need to be backed up by a strong state program that can help provide resources, because replacing some of these rural bridges can be quite expensive. And oftentimes it's going to take the involvement of multiple levels of government. And so certainly it's absolutely vital. Nebraska, a state where its rural economy is so critical, that it has in place those types of programs, so that, as you mentioned, a number of bridges are closed, which tells me that they can't access the resources that are necessary to replace the bridges, someplace reconstruct them. And then behind that, a strong federal program, which again focuses more on some of the more heavily traveled bridges, but many of them are also in rural areas, is absolutely vital. And again, Congress has begun deliberations over a long-term federal transportation program that would extend beyond the program that will expire this fall or next fall. And concurrently, the administration is promoting a much stronger rural component within that program.
Joining me on Lincoln Live today is Rocky Moretti from the National Research Group, TRIP. As I mentioned, it all comes down to money. There's conversation going around in Lancaster County to impose a countywide wheel tax, which would tax vehicles based upon their use, based upon their weight, that sort of thing, and then having that money aimed directly at taking on bridges. So Lancaster County commissioners have gotten tired of waiting for the state, waiting for feds, and there now is talk of implementing its own wheel tax in order to generate some bridge repair revenue.
Well, the other additional very critical factor of this is, as we point out in the report, that the traffic fatality rate on Nebraska's rural non-interstate roads is approximately 2.5 times higher than on all other roads when you compare for the amount of travel per mile. Again, a significant challenge in rural America. We know that when you have the resources to add guardrails, to add rumble strips, to pave shoulders, there's a tremendous amount of cost-effective strategies to making rural Americans safer on those roads. And again, that is part and parcel of the challenge faced with bridges. We need infrastructure in rural communities that is reliable and sustainable, but very critically is also safe.
I thought about this too, Rocky, as I prepared for our conversation, that as a result of a bridge being out, more miles are logged than to get around it, and that increases the chances of rural crashes.
It's additional time lost. It's more exposure, obviously, because you're driving more. And so it has significant consequences economically. And if bridges are closed, obviously that impacts people's decisions on if they want to go into that community, if they want to locate a business in that community. We were recently releasing a report in upstate New York, and we heard from a local fair that basically had their season wrecked because the main bridge into their community was closed. And so, there are real consequences when we can't maintain our infrastructure adequately.
Rocky, let's shift to the share of freight travel on Nebraska's rural interstates. And this is another TRIP point of research, that rural traffic in Nebraska is among the heaviest in the nation. Freight shipments are projected to increase significantly. There's inadequate investment. The infrastructure just isn't there. From 2013 to 2017, an average of 22 people per 1 million population were killed in Nebraska in crashes that involved a large truck. That's the eighth highest rate in the nation.
The report found that in Nebraska, annually $220 billion or 220 billion tons of goods are being shipped across the state, about 75% of those by truck. And on the rural interstates in the state, 23% of the vehicles on those highways are large commercial trucks, tractor trailers. That's a good sign. It shows a lot of economic activity. But the challenge is having a system that can accommodate those. We also know that by 2045, we anticipate a 56% increase in the amount of goods shipped by trucks in the state. And as we point out in the report, that unfortunately the number of people killed in traffic crashes involving large trucks in Nebraska is one of the highest rates in the country.
The infrastructure just isn't capable of handling it. Our interstate, with the exception of Lincoln to Omaha, is two lanes. Lincoln to Omaha has three lanes in both directions. But you get out as you head west, and for those of us who are used to that three lanes as we head east to Omaha, it's an entirely different traveling world when you have a row of semis in the slow lane to the right, the outside, and you're trying to negotiate with everybody else on that inside lane, and you only have that other lane as an option. The infrastructure just isn't there, Rocky.
The state of Virginia recently has a similar challenge along Interstate 881 in the western part of the state, and have put in place a long-term set of improvements that are really cost-effective in some places around some of the urban areas, perhaps adding another lane, doing a variety of smaller improvements that are going to help move trucks through the corridor, but also help regular vehicles and keep people safer. And it was a realization how vital those corridors are to the state's economy and really to the nation's economy, but also starting to address some of those infrastructure challenges.
Want to let listeners know, if they'd like to learn more about it, they can go to tripnet.org, tripnet.org. Rocky, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Dale.
Rocky Moretti, Director of Policy and Research for the National Research Group, TRIP, joining me on Lincoln Live. Go to our KFOR podcast link at KFORnow.com to listen to this conversation again and other interesting conversations from interesting people on Lincoln Live. I'm Dale Johnson.